I was thinking about something as I contemplated the ongoing dissension, ongoing challenges that we have within the country, and how much division there still is. And something occurred to me. There is something that we all agree on that's not a bad place to start. And that is simply that words matter. I mean, we've got the whole Trump impeachment thing is based on what? Something he said that they claim incited a riot. We have free speech controversy battle now going on where people are saying, well, these people don't have any right to speak. We need to deplatform. We need to run them off. We've got the cancel culture where if you say just the wrong thing, they want to basically make you go away. We've gone way too far with all of that. But here is my here's my good takeaway from that. At least we agree on this. Words matter, and words have consequences. And that's not a bad place to start. Because they do. Because words can be used as weapons. Now, some have actually taken that to an extreme, and they say that that words, in fact, are violence, and then they are able to use that, in their own minds at least, to just to actually commit real violence. And, you know, to me, that's just a convenient argument to be lawless. There's nothing, that's not what we're saying here. But words do have power. We recognize such things as emotional abuse, verbal abuse. We recognize the damage that can do to people. Words do have the power to motivate. We can motivate people toward good, or we can motivate people toward evil. And what am I doing right now? I'm using words in hopes of motivating people toward good. But the thing about words, and we all know this, you can't take them back. And we can be so careless with what we say. You know, if I was standing out somewhere waving a gun around, people would be understandably upset by that. But sometimes with our words, we're no better. We're like children playing with guns who don't understand the power that we have, and the damage that we can do. We ought to take our words seriously. Because they can do great good, they can also do great evil. And our text today is what you might expect, given that introduction. Our text is from James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. And I want to go ahead and read that, because without the context, really, of everything that's said, the message doesn't make sense. So, let me go ahead and do that. That is, again, James chapter 3, starting in verse 1, going through verse 12. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put bits into the horses' mouths so that they obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird and reptile and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessings and cursing. My brethren, this ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send forth from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Or can salt water produce fresh? If we look back, if we look at this passage and we start back in verse 1, I think that's important. Usually when we teach this, we'll start in verse 2 because, you know, it's there, it's focused on the tongue. But really, it starts back in verse 1. And of course, all of this is, you know, as we know, the chapter and verse markings are added. So you really could go back and look at the whole letter. But in the interest of time, we generally can't do that in these settings. So we do what we can. But he starts out with an admonishment not many of us should become teachers. Why is that? Well, he tells you because we'll incur a stricter judgment. Well, why would that be? Because your influence is greater. Because you have a greater responsibility to the truth. Because people are going to follow you. You set yourself up as a teacher, as a leader. People are going to hopefully pay attention to what you say, and eventually, over time, hopefully, begin to put those things into action. So you better be telling the truth. The question that we ask ourselves, or the thing that we should do, is to check our motivation. Why is it that we, and this can apply not just to ministry or not just to teaching, but to any time we embark upon something, where's our motivation coming from? Is it pride? Is it the strokes that we get? Is it the I like being called pastor or whatever the title may be? Or is it truly to be a blessing, to help the people that we're speaking to or otherwise leading to become all that God intended for them to be? Because that's our job. And it starts with controlling the tongue. James in verse 2 here calls it a mark of perfection. That if you can do that, you're perfect. Well, what that suggests to me is Jesus is probably the only one that ever did it. But control freaks, take note. If you want to control something, start there. You control what you say. A whole lot of other things fall into place, actually. Life gets easier. He says that the tongue directs your life. And if you look, I love the Proverbs. You look in the Proverbs, you see this principle illustrated in the things that, or not, that's probably not the way to say that. You see this principle described in the Proverbs in various places. 13:3 says, "The one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin." Proverbs 14, verse 3 says, "In the mouth of the fool is a rod for his back, but in the lips of the wise will protect them." And again, 18, 20, and 21, "By the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. He will be satisfied with the product of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Then we go on, and he uses another analogy. He speaks of the tongue as a fire. You know, control fire is good. It gives us warmth. It gives us light. It gives us power. Really, our whole modern society would not exist without controlled fire. It's also used for purification. The Bible even uses it as a metaphor for the Holy Spirit. That kind of fire, that kind of control fire is good. We need it. But uncontrolled fire is another thing altogether. It's destructive. We've been watching California burn for years. I remember back, I was 12 or 13, I think it was, and we were in our backyard. And Dad decided he was going to burn off the weeds and the grass so that we could have a garden. And I remember standing out there in the middle of that yard while he's doing this, and I don't remember if it was a gust of wind or just what exactly happened, but all of a sudden we were surrounded on all sides by that fire. And I just remember what a scary feeling that was. And, you know, ended up not being a big deal. I'm sure Dad just stamped it out. Scary thing. Uncontrolled fire is a dangerous and scary thing. And it spreads so quick. And once something is burned, you can't unburn it. You can't bring it back. It's gone. It is totally destroyed. And once it gets to a certain point, it's really hard to put out. And, you know, the things that we say are very much like that. We know how gossip spreads and mutates into something that's not even the original truth, the thing that was said that might even have been true. The other thing that can spread like that, or you know, as we've seen how argument and disagreement gets out of hand and gets bigger and bigger and worse and until you have something else come out of it. And the thing about fire that you start and it gets out of control like that, it's very likely to burn you. So, you know, we're better off not starting those things, right? And Satan is an arsonist. Now, why is it that we don't burn to say something good the way we seem to burn to say something bad? You ever wondered why you said something? You're like, why did I even say that? Well, we have an enemy who works to destroy us, and that's one of the ways that he can so easily derail us. He didn't make you do it, but he whispered in your ear, and you listened. So let's don't do that. He wants to destroy you, and he wants to destroy yours. And a lot of what's in the rest of James will kind of help with that. Of course, it also talks about our own motivations. A lot of times we blame things on the devil. The devil didn't have anything to do with it. It's our own corrupted motivations involved. And we need to get that right before the Lord. And that's one of the things he'll do, is he'll appeal to your flesh. Or he'll offer you false wisdom that sounds good, but it's not really true. Or it has some truth mixed in with it. But the truth mixed in with a lie is a lie. But then he speaks, you know, speaking of the devil, he then goes on to speak about, or write about speaking with what I would say call a forked tongue. And, you know, talks about it being full of poison. You get the picture of, you know, the snake, of the poisonous snake. But it does that. The things that we say can poison relationships, can poison the emotional well-being of people. That's usually slow. It's not something, you know, that happens immediately. But it happens, and we all know of situations, and maybe we've all perhaps experienced situations in our own lives where that's happened. And the poison is potentially deadly. But we're saying these things. And he says, you're talking about people. You're talking to people who are made in the image of God. This is God's creation. There's a disconnect here. How can you praise the Maker and then turn around and curse His creation? And it's more here, we're not talking about just, you know, going on a profanity tirade and cussing somebody out. Ought not to do that either. But this is about more than angry words. This is, you know, it's about the things that we say to each other that can have long-term effects, destructive things that we speak over each other and to each other. In psychology, we have a term called a self-fulfilling prophecy. We all know what that is, I think. It's where, you know, it's not necessarily true, but you keep saying it and you keep telling them and eventually they believe it and it becomes true. And how dare we do that to another creation of God? Bitterness ruins the whole. You can't, he's saying, can you have fresh and bitter water come out of the same hole? No, you can't. Because what happens? The bitter pollutes the fresh. It's not fresh water anymore. It's polluted water. And what we say, when we speak poison, when we speak bitterness, it pollutes everything else. It taints everything else that comes out of our mouth. Perfect example of this, a few years ago, there was an incident in Denver at a Dairy Queen. And what happened is that somebody had taken a bottle of that had cleaning, a bottle of that was for the machine that had left over a little bit of residue from cleaning solution in it. And they put that in, put the stuff in there, and little 7-year-old kid got a milkshake and got deathly ill because there was just a little bit of cleaning solution left in that bottle. But that is how bitterness works. And that's why he calls it a poison. And the rest of the chapter, you know, is discussing wisdom, and I think it ties back to that whole idea of not many becoming teachers and about what we say. It all goes together. And then he describes the root of our problem and why it is that we do and we say the things that we do. Because we speak out of what is in our hearts. So that's where we need to start. What's in our heart? So let's do a little, when we have gun safety classes, let's do a little tongue safety class. When we starts with that warning to teachers about wisdom that's corrupted. Proverbs 26:9 puts it this way. It says, like a thorn that falls into the hand of the drunkard is a proverb in the mouth of fools. Even truth can be misapplied and misused, and it becomes something other than truth. So when we teach anything, we ought to teach it with care. And I'm not talking about here in a ministerial sense. Obviously, that applies to people who are in any kind of ministry. But it also applies to any time that you, whether as a parent, whether as a teacher, whether as some other kind of authority figure, any time that you exercise authority or assume authority, these things ought to be in our minds. Because we have incurred that responsibility. And without discretion, the gun is loaded. So we need to spend time in prayer. We need to spend time in study and in contemplation of the truth. And when we, we all know not to be involved in gossip and slander because it violates biblical principles for dealing with conflict and sin. That's not the way you do it. Matthew 18 tells us how to do it. You start with the person that's supposedly committed the offense. You just repeat what you heard, you may end up being a liar. And, you know, to do that to somebody, again with the gun metaphor, it's like shooting them in the back. And take care. Take care in your relationships. I think the most painful damage that we do to one another is in personal relationships. The things that we say without thinking. The things that we say in anger. We react. You know, sometimes those things get said to us. And what do? We react and we shoot back. And before you know it, everybody's dead. You know, it's a good idea if you're in a real gunfight to shoot back. But it's not necessarily a good idea in a word fight. Sometimes the best advice in that situation is shut up. Proverbs chapter 21 verse 23 says, "He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles." So some things to think about as we wrap it up here. I know we've been going for a while. Your words have power. Your words have power to set your own course of your life, as James tells us. And they also have power to affect others, both for good and for evil. So let's affect people for good. And your words reveal your character. We've been going a long time, so I'm not going to read this, but Luke 6:45 basically says, what comes out of your mouth is what's in your heart. And furthermore, Matthew chapter 12:36 says, that's what you're going to be judged by. You're going to be judged by the things that you have said. And so, as we come back together, as we continue this journey, let us be cautious with our words, because families can be destroyed, unity can be destroyed. And we want to have healing and not destruction. The Bible gives words importance. We've read it in the Proverbs. We've read it in the book of James. But if you have any doubt left, what is it that we tell people? What is the salvation message, right? What do we read? We read from Romans chapter 10, verse 9. What does it say? If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord. Don't tell me your words don't matter. That's where it starts. So let us spread that message. That's the message that we need now more than anything anyway. So thank you, Lord. Thank you that you have given us everything that we need. May we go forth, and may the Word be the master of our words going forward. In Jesus' name, amen.